Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
All right, so if you've got a copy of the scriptures with me, we'd love to get started today in our service and the preaching of the word. And we're going to be preaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So you can just turn there if you want right now. And as you guys are turning there, I just want to tell you, one of my most valued memories of my college experience wasn't at college. If you are anything like me and you went to college away, I know some people like stayed in town when they went to college. Going away was like a really big deal. And for me, my parents were in another country. So they're in Columbia. I was in Minneapolis. There's no greater difference than those two places in many ways. Like Columbia's warm. It's tropical. Minneapolis is so cold that you forget that there's something called grass most of the year. And it's a really big difference. And so going home was just like water to my soul. And so I remember going home to see my family and just kind of like unloading and just kind of relaxing being home. And that was just so wonderful to enjoy the generosity of my parents. Because when I came home, I kind of slipped back in, which happens, right? Like whenever you get around your parents, you start acting like a kid again. It doesn't matter if you're 40, 50, you get home, start acting just like it was when you were a kid. Your siblings, you all kind of fall in line. Like you all start acting the same way. Like old patterns, old behaviors are hard. And just kind of being home was just in some ways like kind of weird, but in other ways like really refreshing. My mom would do my laundry, so I didn't have to do that anymore. That was awesome. Go out to eat. Dad would cover everything. We actually have real food on the table instead of Totino's pizza and ramen. It was awesome. Like going home was just like incredible. Just experiencing the love and generosity that parents have for their kids is unlike anything else. Which is why I tell my kids, hey, you guys can stay home as long as you want. Like you don't ever have to leave. I know that someday they're going to go. But I'm like, you can stay as long as you want. So girls, you're hearing me. I know we got kids in the room right now. Like it's a family worship Sunday once a month. We have all the kids in here. And kids, you're hearing me. You guys can stay as long as you want. Just so you know, all right? Don't ever grow up. We're fine. As we think about this idea of generosity and family and being connected, I think those are really important themes for us to think about as a community. And like, what kind of community we want to be about? So if you've been tracking with us the last several weeks, we've been walking through this series called Advance, which is a vision and culture series where we're sharing, hey, these are some things we want to do as a church. The purpose of Advance is to invest in our church so that we can grow wider numerically and grow deeper spiritually. So basically what we want is we want to become a healthier version of our church. To become a church that's on mission together. And we've been talking about this idea of being a church that's really captivated by the glory of God, that we want to grow emotionally and spiritually, that we want to become a people that are passionately in love with Jesus, and that we want to like emphasize these elements of our culture so that our church just really owns these values. And so we've been talking about this idea of being people that are really kind of held together by these four rhythms, the four G's of the gospel church. That we want to be people who gather together to worship Jesus, that we grow deeper in community and we grow deeper spiritually, that we give of ourselves and that we go. And today we're going to be focusing on this idea of giving. What I really want to do, because I think this is important for us, is to focus on what it would look like. Like, what would it look like? This crazy idea. What would it look like if we were a church that was known for our generosity? That we are just a generous people, not just financially, but in every part of our life, that with our time, with our talent, with our treasure, and with our heart, that we would be generous people. That people would go, hey, there's a church just known for their generosity, that this church would be a place where the people know that we love people and people can come home, and that the way that we treat people is with generosity of spirit. And that's a really important thing for us because sometimes we forget that this is an important value as a Christian, to be somebody who's hospitable, somebody who's generous. So we're going to look at Paul's instructions to the Corinthians. So look with me in verse 6. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "The point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. Now, today, when it comes to this idea of generosity, I think it's important for us to think about a really important principle when it comes to generosity, and that is this, is that if we want to be a generous people, which nobody's anti-generosity, right? Everybody's like, generosity is a great thing. But if we want to be people who are generous, we need to recognize the resistance. We need to recognize the resistance towards generosity in general. And Paul is doing that here as he's speaking to the Corinthian church. You see, Paul is writing to the Corinthians about a great deal of things. Some things are doctrine, but some are very practical. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he's writing them about an offering that they have decided to take up for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem is kind of like the mother church, and they've gone through a famine, and so people are really struggling to feed themselves. And one of the reasons why people are really struggling is because they had actually been so generous in their past when the church first started that they now had impoverished themselves for the gospel. And so Paul is bringing an offering to go help and encourage them from the church in Corinth to Jerusalem. So he's kind of prepping them and their hearts towards generosity. But we have to recognize the resistance because we have all had bad experiences with people talking about generosity, right? We've all had bad experiences. We've seen pastors and teachers and religious leaders and political leaders and other leaders in our life mistreat people when they talk about generosity, or they use manipulation to get what they want, or we've seen people embezzle funds. And so there are times where we have a resistance towards it. We're like, man, I just don't know if I can enter into that. What's the ulterior motive? What does this really mean for me? And there is genuinely a true resistance towards talking about generosity. I can just kind of put this out there. I feel weird talking about generosity, right? So just preparing this, I'm like, why do I feel weird about talking about this? And I think it's because I don't want you to think that I'm a bad person, right? Because I think everybody kind of wants to make sure that everybody likes them, and I feel the same thing. And so there's a resistance to talk about it or work through it. But here's what I've been thinking and praying about when it comes to the idea of generosity. We all can agree that generosity is really, really important. Not just financial generosity, but every type of generosity. And because it's important, we shouldn't punt it to those who are bad at it. Instead, we should have a culture that models it well. In many ways, just like friendship, right? We've all had a bad experience with friendship. We had a friend who hurt us or wounded us or left us. Man, I mean, junior high is tough. We've all had scars relationship-wise. You show up, and you're like, this person's friends with us 1 week, and then all of a sudden they're friends with Sally instead. And now we didn't get the BFF like necklace thing with the two hearts. You remember that one, right? Like, you see somebody has it. Guys, you didn't have one of those, but girls, man, like junior high is savage, right? It's pretty savage. I hear some of the ladies, you know what I'm talking about, right? And yet, for us guys, too, like, it can be, like, hard. You can be friends with somebody, all of a sudden, like, you're not friends anymore, and it just gets weird. We've all had those moments, but that doesn't mean we punt on friendship altogether, right? We know better than that. We're not like, okay, this person hurt me, and they acted like a jerk, and now I'm not going to be friends with anybody. I'm just going to stay home and read science fiction novels the rest of my life. We don't live like that, right? Why? Because we know friendship is worth it. Same thing is true with love. We've all had a heartbreak, right? We had that relationship when we were young, and then it didn't work out, and thank God it didn't, but at the same time, we were heartbroken for a while. We had that relationship in college or high school or even out of college where we were like, man, I think I found the one, and then it ended badly. Maybe they cheated on us, or they hurt our feelings, or it just fell apart, and maybe we've even like been jaded towards relationships because of the way that our parents like didn't get along or it didn't work out, right? And so we have like this kind of baggage with it, but that doesn't mean that falling in love is a bad thing or that you shouldn't do it, right? It should be something beautiful because we know that it is. Deep inside us, we know that it matters, and so we don't punt it. We fight for it. And so for us as a community, we find here God saying that generosity is a very good thing. Look with me in verse 7. He says, each person should do as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. Like, God says that he loves people who give cheerfully, not because they have to or because someone has compelled them to do it, not because we were like, man, I got to do this because otherwise God's not going to like me, or because there's peer pressure to do it, but because we genuinely feel called to it, which is something that I think is important for us when we talk about generosity at the Gospel Church. We don't want people to do it because they have to, or because somebody makes them feel like they need to. We only want people to partner with us because they want to and because God has put it on their heart. We want people to partner with us through advance, not because you have to do this or you're a bad Christian. We want people to partner with us because we go, this is something really special where we can have a legacy that God can do through not just me and my family, but through a community together. And so here's the thing we've kind of said out front. I've said this over and over again, that if you don't want to give, don't feel like you need to give. If you don't want to serve, don't feel like you need to serve. But you should, because it's going to be powerful if you do. And we think it's worth it. We think it's worth giving our time and our life to, and our treasure, our talent, and our heart. We think it's important. But if you don't feel like this is for you, then go give to somewhere else. Go do something else. But we, at the same time, unashamedly say, what we're doing, we think is pretty special, and we invite you to be a part of it, because we want cheerful people, not people who feel like they have to do it because they have to. Now, you see this principle here that's tied in with this, is that Paul is arranging this concept around the idea of seed and sowing. So you're going to see this throughout the entire text that we go through, is that generosity is like sowing seed. Generosity is like sowing seed. And you find him touching this over and over again as an idea when it comes to generosity, that if you sow sparingly, so if you sow just a little, verse 6, you'll get back just a little. And if you sow generously, you'll reap generously. So there's an idea about generosity that it's an investment. You may not see all the investment of how it like comes to fruit and fruition, but there is definitely a correlation here with sowing when it comes to generosity, that you're planting a seed that will reap a harvest, and the level that you do that will bring a response in measure to how much you sow. So I used to have a garden. Anybody have a garden? Any gardeners in the green thumbs? I've got like a black thumb, like everything dies. Except for this one time. This one time, Tabitha and I, we planted a garden and we decided to go all in. And so we like planted a garden in our backyard. And by the way, this is before any of our kids were really that big. So it was like a lot easier to take care of it. And so we like built this garden up and we decided to have tomatoes. Now, personally, I don't really like tomatoes, just to be honest. I like some tomatoes, but it's like not, I'm not like a tomato eater, right? There's some of us who just love V8 and tomatoes. I'm not one of those. Maybe something to look forward as I age, but like right now, not really into V8. But I thought it'd be a great idea to try some tomatoes. So I kind of just like went bananas. I kind of just threw a bunch of seed there. And what happened was, because I threw more seed, I didn't like plant it like carefully. I just kind of threw seed into the bed. We had like a jungle of tomatoes that year. Right? I mean, it was like tomatoes coming out of our ears. And we were like trying to give them away to people. Like they're rotting before you could pick them. Why? Because there's just an abundance of seed that was invested and it just grew. Same is true with generosity. As we invest, so we will reap. But we have to recognize the resistance to it. That there'll always be a reason why we don't want to invest, because it will always change our reality. Now, the second thing I think it's important for us to think about and pray about when it comes to generosity is not only do we need to recognize the resistance, but we need to realize that God is the provider and that we are the receivers. That God is the provider, we are the receivers. That's what you find Paul turning to next. He says this in verse 8. He says, "And God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way for all generosity which produces thanksgiving to God through us." So what is Paul saying here when it comes to generosity? Well, he's saying that God is the one who ultimately is the provider of everything we have and we receive. So what he's saying here is he's saying God's ultimately the one who gives, and you, as someone who's a receiver, are not the one who ultimately is the one who made the thing happen. See, sometimes we have a block when it comes to generosity because we think that these things are ours. We did it. But what Paul is pointing to here is he's saying that he is the provider for everything we need. In verse 8, he says, God is able to make every grace overflow to you. So he's saying this is the grace he's giving to you so that you will have everything that you need. God is the provider for everything you need so that what? Not so that you can have a perfect life, but he goes on to say, so you may excel in every good work. So when we receive, we're receiving not just for our own need, but so that we can be a blessing to others. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, 25 says this. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withholds what is right only to become poor. A generous person will be enriched, and the one who drinks gives a drink of water will receive water. There's this idea of generosity being tied towards enriching others and blessing others, and then also receiving ourselves, because God takes care of those who trust him as provider. Now, I think it's important for us when we look at this idea of giving and giving of ourselves. And again, this is not only financially. This is with our time, with our talent, with our treasure, and with our heart. It's often that we feel like, hey, if I give of myself, then I'm not going to have anything left. If you look with me in verse 10, you find the Apostle Paul pointing to this and highlighting this as a real fear that we have. It says this, now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for the food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. What does that even mean? Like, I've read that like over and over again. I first read it, I was like, what is he really saying there? Like, it's kind of confusing, talking about bread and seed, and how are those two connected? And as I kind of dove into this, what I found is that in the first century, they operated differently when they came to creating food, right? So many people would create bread out of grain. We still do that today. But today, most of us just go to the store and just buy it off the shelf, right? We're just kind of like, hey, just go get the bread. It's already made. But we don't see that it's actually created from seed. So they would take seed and grind it up and then create bread out of it. And so when they would do that, they actually had a choice. What are we going to do with the seed that we have? We can do two things with it. One, we can create bread and eat it. Or secondly, we can take that seed and sow it so we can have bread next year. And you can see the kind of like struggle somebody would have, right? Like, hey, we have a limited amount of seed. Are we going to eat off of this, make bread, or are we going to go sow it so that we can have like a harvest later? And what Paul is pointing to is he's saying God provides both. He's a provider. And he will provide for his people. He's the one. If you look in verse 10, it says the one. Who's the one? The one who provides is God. God is ultimately a provider. And when we're generous, we acknowledge that he can and does and continues to provide for us. Listen, I want to just kind of just take a step back for just a minute and just kind of say this. When it comes to generosity and trusting God, I realize the two are very connected. And I don't know of any greater step of faith that I took other than planting this church. I left my job, which I had a pretty good job, and I was getting paid regularly every 2 weeks. I was pastoring at a church that was growing, and yet I felt like God clearly called me to come to Nashville and start a church. And it was weird because like we didn't know anybody. I didn't really have any connections in town. And we definitely didn't have any money. And at the same time, I felt so compelled that I was like, I'm going to go plant my time and my talent, my treasure, my heart into this community. I feel like God's calling me to do that. So I'm going to trust that he's going to be a provider for that. And along the way, I started dating my wife, and she decided to come along for the trip and along for the ride and said, I want to invest my life into this too. And it was kind of even scary for her because she's like, I think this guy might be the right guy, and I think he is the one I'm going to marry, but he has no job really. He's starting a church, and he's asking me to move to another town, and so I'm going to trust God here. And so in the middle of all that, there was a lot of fear and a lot of wondering if God's going to provide. Not just like, hey, will he provide for us financially, but will he provide like everything that we feel that you're speaking into? Like, will you provide a place for us to meet? Would you provide a place for us to worship? Like, would you bring people to this church? Like, God, are you out there? And the same is true for you in your life. There are areas in your life where you're like, man, I don't know, God, if you're going to provide for this, but I'm praying for it, and I'm not sure if you're going to answer it. And there's like a definite fear as to whether or not God's going to provide for you as a person. Will God answer my prayers? And to be honest, in that space, it's where our faith kind of like resides. Will we listen to the voice of God in our life as we journey with him? What I found is that as we started following him in faith, is that God was there in the middle of it. God answered prayers, but it was on the margins, on the borders of where we didn't have all the answers, and he did. It was on the margins of where we didn't have all the things figured out, but God did. And in the middle of that, God gave us just a vision of what it looked like to be generous with our hearts and our life and our resources and our talents. And I believe that that's something that you can enter into too, where you can be somebody who says, I want to be someone who trusts the Lord, both for my daily provision and for what he can do through me. But it all comes down to this idea of saying, God, are you really there? Do you really hear my prayers? Are you going to be someone who's going to provide for me? That is the question that we're all really asking. God, are you there? Are you going to provide for me? Because there's fear that grips all of us. The fear is God really going to be there? Is God really going to be there? Is God going to really hear my prayers? Is he going to really be a part of my life? Will he really answer the need or the thing that I'm struggling with? Will he be there? And what God is saying here is he's saying, yes, I am. I'm the one who provides for my people. Because one thing that we know about God is that his generosity is unmatched. The reason why we are a generous people is because we follow a generous God. He is the source of all generosity. And because we are his children, we're also marked with that same level of generosity where we give ourselves to others. That's what it means to be God's people, to be people who've received generosity and then we become a conduit so that generosity can be flowed out to others. Because ultimately, generosity is about worship. It's about worship, who we worship and how we worship. Look with me in verse 12. Paul goes on to say this. He says, for the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So what he says here, he says, this offering that you guys are giving, Corinthians, is not just supplying the needs of these saints who need it, but it creates an overflowing of expressions of thanks to God. So your gift is creating worship because of what you're doing. Generosity points to a God that we say, ultimately, my worth is not found in holding back, but in God. And because of his generosity, then I can actually freely give. And that causes people to say, there's something different about this group of people. Paul goes on to say this, verse 13. He says, because of the proof provided by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedient confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone. And as they pray on your behalf, they will have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul's like, listen, because of your giving of yourselves, people are going to worship God, and worship happens because of the way that you invest. And it's all because of God's gift. What's his gift? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean that we are people who are marked by Jesus, who like 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says that he was rich, For our sake, he became poor so that by his poverty, we could become rich. What does it mean for us to be people who are generous because of Jesus? So that worship will happen, so that our own life, we will worship him, but then also that worship would flow out to our community and to our church and to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to the community at large. What does it mean for us as people? Well, it means that if we want to be people who are generous, it's something that every single person in this room needs to own. Generosity of spirit. To be people who open up our lives and our time and our talent and our treasure and our hearts to other people. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we need to advance together as a culture, every single one of us, in our generosity. That every single one of us ought to look in our own heart and say, God, if you're the giver and I'm the receiver and you gave everything that I have, every dollar in my bank account, every bit of health that I have, every bit of my story, any talent that I have, any bit of heart that I have, you give that all to me and you gave me Jesus, then I am a steward of that and I need to make sure that I use it so that worship will happen in my life. And it can't be something that only me and the elders, the pastors or staff do. It has to be every single person in this room becoming more mature in our generosity. So what does that look like? Well, that means that if we're going to be generous with our time, it means that we must be willing to invest our time in other people. It means that we should be people that use the resource of time generously, which honestly means that you need to make time for people who need you. But that means like you need to take time and be generous with your children and invest in them so that they will know and love God. That is a generous thing to do because honestly, when you come home, sometimes the first thing you want to do is just watch football as a guy, right? But if we're generous with our time, we invest our time in our children, our families. If we want to be generous with our time, it means we make space for people that we don't know, that have genuine need. It means that we serve, we give our time to other people. And you know, one of the best things that you can do with your time to actually do this well is just to be present with people. You know, I love my phone. I think you probably love your phone too. You probably hate it half the time, but you love it. And one of the things about our phones that's so crazy is like we spend a lot of time doing this. Like we walk around like this. I do this. Like whether I'm following directions, like they actually tell me where physically to go, or I'm like looking at Twitter or Instagram, I just do this. And I'm not doing a whole lot of looking up and looking at people. Sometimes when I'm looking at people, I'm thinking about the next person I need to talk to, not the person in front of me. Have you ever done that? Hey, this conversation is great, but I need to talk to that person. One of the best things you can do to be generous with your time is actually see the person in front of you as an image bearer of God and see their need and see who they are and care for them. That's being generous with your time. Investing your time with people. Your talent. God has given you talents, not so that you can only enrich yourself and be awesome and be seen as great, but he's given you talents to glorify God and to be generous with your talents. What ways has God created you that you can use your investment of your talent for the glory of God? That's a big question to dive in on. But God's created you specifically to be you, and he wants to use that talent for his glory, and you should be generous in sharing that talent with other people. Third, our treasure. Man, honestly, the thing that we're most afraid of is losing control of our treasure. I want to hold this. I don't know if it's going to be enough. If I run out, will we not have the same lifestyle? And so we can hold on to our treasure so much so that it owns us. Instead of us owning it, it owns us. And letting our hands free of it, being open-handed with our treasure, allows God to use it so it no longer owns us, but we can use it for God's glory. That's why things like Advance are so important for us, because we believe that helping our church see what they've been entrusted in as a resource for the glory of God is one of the best things we can do because God has made our church incredibly blessed. We can be a blessing. We need to grow in our generosity with our treasure. But third, not only with our treasure, but with our heart. Listen, our heart is one of the things we hold on almost more than anything else, where we have a thing that we like to hold tightly. We're not sure if we want to let people in. We don't know if we can give our heart to other people because we've been hurt or we're busy or our heart seems like it's full already. But really, if we want to be people who are Christ worshipers and people that follow him, we need to be open with our heart to let people in. And so what does that mean for us as a church? Well, it means that every single one of us needs to look at our life and say, what areas am I really good at and I need to keep doing? And what areas do I need to get better at? See, some of us are like really good at being generous financially. We're just like, yeah, it's easy. It's not a big deal. I'll just give that. I don't even miss it. I've just kind of been doing this for years and I'm fine. But giving my heart to somebody else, yeah, that's really hard. Some of us are really good at giving our time away. We love spending time with other people, but letting our talents be used? No, we're not going to do that. Some of us are really good at talent, but we're not really good at treasure. We're not ready to like anybody like have some of our treasure. We'll serve all we can, but we won't really give. But God wants us to advance in all of these four areas. That's what it means to be generous, is to be someone who's generous with everything that God has entrusted us with. And so I want every single one of us to consider what God wants us to do, to be generous as people, to be generous, open-handed people that give of ourselves to other people so that worship will increase. And here's what I know, is that it doesn't always happen when you feel like it. If worship and generosity are connected, then the same thing is true of posture preceding passion. We talked about that with worship, that sometimes we have to like step in and worship before we're really feeling it. If we always wait till we feel like we want to worship, then we may never worship. Same thing is true with being generous. Sometimes we need to step in knowing that our heart will follow our actions. And so as a church, what does that mean for us? Well, it means that we believe that through advance, we want to champion some of these things. We want to create space for this kind of generosity just to be a part of our life. When you give to advance, what we want to do is create generous spirit in our church. And so there's two things I want to tell you guys that our church is going to try to do to have a corporate expression of generosity, okay? I'm pretty excited about these. I hope you will be too, because I think they're pretty awesome, okay? The first is this. God has given us an incredible opportunity to be in this school. And this school is an awesome school. West End Middle School not only looks like Hogwarts, but it's filled with kids from all around this city that are bright, sharp, good kids. And a lot of them come from great homes and some come from homes that are struggling, but this is one of the best schools in the city. It's also pretty underserved in a lot of ways. So it's been really cool for us to make investments in the school and try to be generous with it. We're trying to find more ways to do that. But one of the things that we've been led to as an elder team has been to say, how can we invest in them more? And one of the things that was so heartbreaking for me was I saw something really cool happen in the city that this school wasn't a part of. The really cool thing that happened, and we want to say this is a cool thing, is that Jeff Bezos and Amazon, they made a huge investment in technology in a lot of schools in the city. And so they created some tech hubs and some like community development hubs for kids to grow in their technology. And they put like $10,000 to $15,000 investment in a lot of the schools in the community. And in fact, almost every middle school in the community got one of those tech centers given to them by Amazon. That is awesome. The only thing that wasn't so awesome is that this school didn't get one. And so through Advance, one of the things we want to do is we want to give a gift of technology to this school of that amount, about $10,000 this next year, to say, hey, kids, we don't want you to be left behind. In fact, we think you can break a cycle of poverty if you have tech skills. And we want to partner with the school to say, how can we create this in a way that will actually really bless you so that this school will thrive and the kids here will see that God loves them and that there's a church in this community that cares for them and we want to invest in them. Why? Because we think this is something God's done in us, that we've been blessed to be a blessing to you. Isn't that cool? So that's going to be one of the big things we're going to do as the Gospel Church through Advance. We want to advance into the school and give them a gift of tech. Now, the second thing we want to do when it comes to have culture generosity is we want to create a culture that supports and champions adoption and fostering, that children in this church feel loved and taken care of, that this is a place where children grow up to love Jesus. And honestly, one of the most beautiful pictures of the gospel is when a family is generous with their time and their talents and their treasure and their heart to children that do not have a home, that do not have a lot of resources, and they are adopted into that family. Or there's a safe place, a fostering family that says, you can come here and you can be safe and you can have a moment of respite from just the storm that you're in. That's something beautiful, right? And so through ADVANCE, one of the things we want to do is we want to create a scholarship, actually a grant, for two families who are partners at our church every year to adopt. We're going to create two $500 scholarships or grants for families that are saying, we want to adopt. We know that's not going to cover everything. Adoption is incredibly expensive. Some adoptions run between $30,000 or $70,000, which is incredible, just depending on where you're adopting. And that's a huge, huge burden for families. They're trying to raise that. But we want to come alongside and say, we see you. We want to help in our way that we can through this grant. But more importantly than that, we want to create a culture where our people love families that are adopting. Because what I hear from families that are adopting, they're like, if money is one thing, sure, we'll take it. But like the big thing is we want people to love us, to be generous with their hearts and time with us, to tell us, hey, we're here for you. We care for you. What can we do for you? Can we treat you just really generously during this time? And it's really beautiful when a church gets around families that are adopting. So wouldn't it be cool to have a community that is generous to families who say, we're willing to open our hearts. We're saying, we're with you in that. So I want to invite three families up who are currently going through this right now. So I'm going to invite the Haglers. Matt and Rachel are one of our elder couples here at our church. Jonathan and Tori Bates. Jonathan and Tori are life group leaders here at our church. And Jonathan and Tori also serve in kids and in our hospitality team, our guest services team. And then the Brits, Austin and Caroline, you guys want to come up too? Austin and Caroline are partners here at the Gospel Church. And you guys back there? All right, I see you guys. I just want to introduce you guys to these couples, and we'll wait till Austin and Caroline are here. And they've got a friend with them. And these couples are all saying, we want to be generous with our time, talent, treasure, and heart. And they're adopting. They're in different stages. Austin and Caroline, they are fostering right now. They've been fostering kids who've gone through some really tough times right now. Currently, I think they're fostering this little baby right here. And we think that it is awesome what you guys are doing. And we want to give you guys a gift today. ADVANCE doesn't really kick off till January. Our commitment Sunday is November 17th. Our big give day is December 8th. But today, we want to go ahead and say, sacrificially, we want to go outside of our budget and offer you these scholarships today. And so we have scholarships for the two couples who are currently in the adoption process. And then on top of that, because we know Austin and Caroline have been doing fostering, and that's not in our adoption scope, but we see them and we see what God is doing through them, and we love you guys. We are giving an additional gift to you as well, because we know that you guys have been pouring out your own treasure into these kids. And you're not doing this because you guys are trying to be awesome. I would just say that. We're not doing this because we think we're awesome, but we think that this is something beautiful. And we want to just say, we love you guys. And so as we kind of close out, I just want to give you guys each a gift. And I want us to pray for them, because I think this is like part of us being generous with our heart with them, is to pray for them, right? To pray. And so as we close out, I'm just going to pray for them, and then our band's going to come up and lead us in a response song. And so let's just pray with them. If you guys raise your hand out towards them as they're going through this time, just pray with me for these couples, because we love them. God, thank you for each one of these couples. Thank you for their generosity of spirit, for answering the call that you placed on their life to make a space in their home and to use the space that they have in their house and in their heart and in their life to bring a child into it. To say, we want to be like Christ to a child and care for that child, and we want to follow God and say, we've been blessed, and so we're going to be a blessing. So I pray for the Bates, Jonathan and Tori, pray for the Haglers, Matt and Rachel, pray for the Brits, Austin and Caroline, as they walk in this way. And I pray for our church that we would be for them and with them and celebrate with them as they bring their children home. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.